No, I think it has
Specialty.
to be like a science stuff, like maybe nursing or ODP
Oh, okay.
or forensic or midwifery or something like those kind of science background, then for you to get in. But with business, I'm not too sure actually.
Okay, coming up. Victor, how are you? Hello, Victor.
Am I not shaking back?
Yeah, I saw him. Oh, maybe just calmed us. He's not actually online, but he's one of the participants. Hello, Victor, how are you? Hi, Philip. Philip, Peter, Paul, how are you? Why are you not responding? Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Sorry, who's speaking? Is that Victor?
No, this is Paul.
No. Hi.
Victor.
Sorry, I mean, what's your name, please?
Me.
Me is who? What's your name?
Victor.
Oh, how are you? Long time.
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, we missed you.
Yeah, I miss you guys too. Pardon?
I'm sure you didn't. That's why you've not been turning up.
I've been what?
I said we missed you. I'm sure you didn't miss me. That's why you've been turning up.
No, it's because I sleep late and I wake up late. So.
Have you been studying the world? That's why you sleep late, or because you've been watching movies?
Movies.
I hope you come back next week.
I'm back now.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Hello, Pastor.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, sir. I'm fine, sir. Hello, Hashmi. Yeah.
Oh, Sharon has joined.
Okay. Ashley, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
How was last week?
How was what?
How was the service last week with us?
Yeah, it was really good. I liked it.
Thank you for joining again.
No problem.
Rachel and sisters, how are you?
Fine, thank you, Auntie. How are you?
I'm fine. How's your week been?
It's been okay.
Okay. Stephanie, Auntie?
Hi, Auntie. How are you?
How's the week been?
Oh, it's been good. Right. Very good.
Oh, very good. Are you back on, back in school?
No.
Not yet.
I think I'm going back next month, like ending of August.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Ending of August.
Who goes to school at the end of August?
That's when you like register. Yeah, that's when I start. And then I have like another week of no school and then I start again.
Oh.
Victor, are you back in school?
No. I don't want to go to school. I'm going to school September.
Okay.
Someone that sleeps late and wake up so in the afternoon, how would you go to school?
No, you don't want to.
I'm gonna change when it's closer to school.
You know what I mean? I feel like so messed up.
It's nice to have everybody back on. So let's start.
Sharon is there, I guess.
Nah?
Sharon is there, Sharon.
Oh. How are you, Sharon?
Hi, I'm good.
Are you there with your sister?
Yeah, Brenda's there.
Yeah, no, we're here together.
That's good. How has the week been?
It's been good.
Oh, that's good. Fendi, how are you?
I'm good.
Nice to have you back. So we're going to start now with Who wants to say an opening prayer for us? Anybody? Could be just a few sentences. Someone should say a month from now, the winds will blow. What should I choose? The heavy rains of the monsoon season. Anybody for opening prayer? No? Hello, can you hear me? They're all muted.
We can all hear you.
Can someone, one of the youth, can you please open for us, please? Let's have an opening prayer.
They won't choose themselves. Can you choose someone, please?
Okay, Yeti.
Okay, better.
Okay. Yeti, just a short one, okay? Don't worry.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for who are here today. We thank you for our lives. Thank you for what you have done for us so far. We thank you for keeping us safe during this quarantine. Father Lord, as we connect with the youth today, let us learn something that will benefit our lives in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. So we have, it's going to be like 45 minutes, 50 minutes, because we have the house fellowship by 6 o'clock. So I want to give like 10 minutes, 15 minutes for us to do, because every one of us, we need to attend the house fellowship as well. Just don't think because we've attended the youth service, then the house fellowship, you don't have to. Yes, you have to. You are part of the youth and family, okay? So we're going to finish like 45 minutes past 5 or 15 minutes past 5, giving us some time to ease ourselves. Then we come back for the house fellowship, okay? Thank you. So today I'm going to talk about God of possibility, God of the possibility God. Nothing is difficult with God. So I'm going to ask a question. You can type in if you agree with what I'm saying. And if you have any question, you can just type in, then I'll see them. If we have time, then we can answer the question. We've always been hearing about there is nothing too hard for God to do. We've had pastors say it, we've read it so many times. God of possibility, God is able to do everything. But when you sit down and you think about it deeply, forget about what pastor is saying, do you think everything is possible to God? It is easier said, like what we always hear. It is easier said than done. Even the preachers, they tell you it is good to believe God. You have any problems, you go to meet God. He's going to solve it for you and everything. But then, when you go through challenges and problems, when you sit down and you think about it, in the midst of your problem, are there times that you sit down and you think that can go through faith? Do you think that everything, forget that we're on the platform, you're on a Christian platform, we are all Christians here and it's a Christian group. But just think about it within you. Do you think that all the problems or the challenges I have, God can actually help me with it? Or at the back of our mind, do we still have a plan B that, okay, this is my plan A, this is what I want God to do? But then if God doesn't go through this way, if this is not answered, then this is my plan B. This is what I'm going to do. I'm sure that in one way or the other, we have let in doubt because we think that we are going through a dark tunnel and it just seems like it is impossible, especially at times when we come to, like the youth now, maybe you have challenges with your exams and you think, oh, I can't do this. It is getting tough. I remember there was a time, I think a few months ago, Sister Funke was asking some youth about the grades, your target grades, and what you're targeting to get in your subjects and what you're actually going to have. And some of them were saying that, okay, maybe an A or B, but then to be on the safe side, I would just be at C. there are times we don't want to aim high because we think that once we aim high, it is not possible for me to get there. We think it is too much for God to do. So in a way, we are limiting ourselves, we are limiting God. Because you think once you aim high, then how is it possible for me to get there? And you'll be like, okay, let me be on the safe side. Let me just be at the middle. I know at the middle, I'm safe there because aiming high, it is impossible. In that kind of situation, you are limiting the power of God. You might not think that you are limiting it, but then when you sit down and you think about it, you feel like you are doubting God that maybe it is not possible for God to do it. So there's a difference between you believing it is possible and you actually knowing that, yes, God can do it. So I'm going to talk about why we have to trust God in our problems and the challenges. And there is no point we having a plan B. Once you start having a plan B and once you start doubting God, that means you are shifting your focus away from God and you want to start relying on your own strength. Because when you focus totally on God, then you are not having a plan B and your challenges, you don't focus on them. So we are going to read the story of Zechariah, which is Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 38. So Zechariah is John the Baptist's father. And what happened when he doubt the possibility of God? So let's open our Bible. I hope you have our Bibles here with us. Let's open our Bible. I can call anybody randomly to read a verse. Okay? So let's open our Bible to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to start reading. If I can call someone randomly to finish up. Luke chapter 1. Are we there?
Where is it again?
Luke chapter 1, verse 26. So I'm going to start. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man. No. I think I mixed it up. Okay, the birth of John the Baptist. Sorry, I mixed my verses up. Chapter 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of. So I'm in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, going to 6 now. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old. Once when the first division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was shocked and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and it will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient of their disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zachariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happened, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So that is the consequences that happened. The consequences that happened, that was the consequence that happened when Zechariah doubted God. He wasn't able to speak. He was dumb, he was lame, he couldn't respond again until after everything happened. This is what happens when we did not trust God fully. Because he limited the power of God, the supremacy of God, God made him to be speechless. He couldn't say any, he couldn't speak again. So there are some consequences that we faced. Even if we have to believe that God is able in our difficult times. He was advanced in age with his wife. But then, because of the doubt, he couldn't speak again. Then I'm going to talk about the spies as well. The spies went to, Moses sent the spies to spy on a land that God has promised them. God has promised the Israelites about this land that is flowing with milk and honey. But then they went there. Some of them brought a bad report about this land, and Caleb, another guy, brought in good reports about it, and that angered God. I'm just going to read a few verses about it, then we are going to explore it most. So it's going to be Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land. Sorry, can we open our Bibles to Numbers chapter 13? I'm going to be reading and I'm going to be skipping some verses as well. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm given to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So one leader was sent from each tribe, making 12 of them. So when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, I'm in verse 17 now. I skipped some parts because it's going to be a long verse. Go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, descendant of Hanak, lived. Verse 26, I've skipped some verses. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the old Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the old assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live there, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Because Caleb, he knows the God of possibility. Fine. In the land, they saw giants living there. The others brought in back, they brought in bad reports, but Caleb believed in the possibility of God, that nothing is impossible with God. So when you start limiting God, you are doubting it. And it's in the Bible that once you doubt, then you are inviting sin. You doubt, then that is a sin. When you limit the ability of God, you are putting in doubt, and you are now indirectly telling God that he is not what he is meant to be, or is not what he is. So when Caleb silenced the people, he silenced them that we can't, you, as a Christian, you have to have the mind of possibility, even within the challenges you are going through with your, within the problem, in the midst of your problems, in your darkened area. The doubt can come in, but you have to silence it. Just like how Caleb silenced the people when they were coming in with different reports. He silenced them. Yes, there are giants there. But then we believe in the God of possibility. You have to strengthen yours. And he told them, we should go up and take possession of the land. So when you have challenges, when you have things you are going through, if you allow the inner thoughts in you to take over you, then you are not going to get to that promised land. But when you put on the strength which Caleb did, he silenced the thoughts around him. There are things going on. He's man as well. He has blood flowing through him. He would have seen the impossibility of invading the land. He would have seen the challenges. But then he knew the guide of the kind of God that he is serving. So he silenced every evil report that was coming up. He said, no, we have to go up to take the possession of the land, for we can certainly do. And when we read the verses down up to chapter 14, you realize that Caleb and the other guy, they inherited the land. But for those that said negative things about the land, that yes, there are giants there, we can't go up there, they are going to kill us, those ones did not enter. They died. So as Christians, we have, God has given us the choice. You have the choice to be, you have the choice to go the broad way or the narrow way, to trust in God or not to trust in God. I was listening to a ministration earlier this week, and someone was asking the preacher that, why should God create us and at the end he wants to destroy us? Because it is obvious that there are so many millions or billions of people living on earth, and not everybody, I'm not trying to judge now, but not everybody will enter the kingdom of God. So this person was now asking that, why is it that God created, he created on in his own image? So at the end, we are not all going to reign with God. Why should he create us that some will die, some will perish, and some will reign within heaven? And the preacher was like, because he has given you the chance to make your choice. He has given us the ability. He has shown us this is the way. We have the broad way. We have the narrow way. So it is left for you now to choose the narrow way to heaven, or the broad way, which is very wide and everybody is going through, and which leads to destruction. So as Christians now, God has shown us his possibilities, except we want to shy away from it. We have the Bible. We have so many things around us that we can use to build up our faith in Christ. But then most of us are lazy. We don't want to study. We don't want to read the word. There are so many other things that we want to do rather than, okay, we have a meeting by 5 p.m. I don't have time for the meeting. I'd rather sleep. I'd rather go and watch Netflix or any other movies. But then the things of the world, we take it with, as if, with nothing. Because the fear of God is not in us. We can't, because we do not see God, you do not see the possibility in God. We are limiting God's power And according to what we just read now, when you don't silence that thing, the other's plan B or any other thing that wants to interact with the focus of God in you, then you won't inherit the possession of the land. You won't get where you want to get to. You can do it just like how Caleb said. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do. As Christians, there is nothing that should limit us from doing that which we want to do. We will face challenges. Of course, Caleb did face challenges with the other guys. But he saw the possibility that with God, all things are possible. And he believed in God rather than the problems. The other guys that came, that gave false reports, they believed in the... They believed in the negativity they saw around them. They did not believe that, yes, God can do it. And there are sometimes we face through challenges as well. We face through problems. That's why most of us have plan B, or we doubt God that can. We believe that, yes, God can do it, but deep inside you, when it is just you only, and you start meditating on the problems, because at times we sit down, we think about our problems all over and all over again, and you feel like, can God actually do it? When you start inviting doubt into it, indirectly, you are sinning, and indirectly, you are limiting God, that God cannot do it. And you might face the consequence. For you doubting God, you might incur the, you can bring in the violence of God or a curse on yourself. See what happened to Zechariah. He doubted God. Even when the angel, when he saw Gabriel, angel Gabriel told him that you're going to have a son, he doubted. And that period, he was made, God was even merciful with him that he didn't strike him dead for doubting him. At least for that period, he couldn't speak. And see what happened to those that went to spy on the land as well. They doubted God. And what happened? They did not see the land that was flowing with milk and honey. Fine, ours might not be like, okay, milk and honey, but you know what you are believing God for. It could be a good job. It could be a good home. It could be, I want to buy a house. But then we have a God of possibility. You shouldn't limit God. God can do all. When you start having plan B, then you are doubting God and you think that he cannot do it. Just like you indirectly calling God a liar. And he cannot lie. Why should he lie? He's not answerable to you. He's unquestionable. If he says, this is what I'm going to do, that is what he's going to do. So, see, David and Goliath as well. Goliath was a giant compared to David. But David was like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He didn't go there on his own strength. When you start using your strength, that is when you start, you will fail when you use your strength. But when you rely on the strength of God, you will conquer things that you think is not possible. That was what happened to David. Naturally, David shouldn't even think of going to battle with Goliath. Because even when he told his brothers and those people around him that is when they'll be like, really, you this guy, you are so small. How can you fight this giant? Can't you just compare yourself to him? But because David did not rely on his own strength. So there are times that we fail. Yes. We are going to fail when you rely on your own strength. It is not just possible for you because we are not God. It is only God that can fight battles and is going to win. So if you think that, yes, I want to be like God and you want to rely on your own strength, I have this problem, I have this challenge. When you rely on your strength, that is when you fail. So some of these things we teach now might not be applicable to you now, like most of us, we say it's that. Especially to the youth now. There are some things you listen on this platform. It might not relate to you now. Because now we are living with our parents. They are feeding us. We've got no bills to pay. I'm not going through anything now. But then remember that there will be a time you have to leave your parents. Like 3 or 4 of the youth are going to university now. Some of us will be away from parents, away from family, for weeks or months before coming back home. That is when the reality, that is when you start experiencing life. When there is no mommy, no daddy, no brother, no sister, but just you. That is when the reality of life will come to you. You'll be so lonely. And there are some things you start experiencing. Yes, challenges, problems. Yes, we are not free from that. Even God, till he died, yes, he was facing challenges, problems. God was tempted. So don't think as a Christian, yes, I'm not going to go through challenges. Yes, you are going to. As a Christian, Christian is not bed of, yes, everything. I'm a Christian so that I won't have problems. That's why I'm going to be a Christian. No. You will face truth. You'll be tempted. You'll face through trials. You'll face through challenges from one to another. But what you have to have at the back of your mind is, in spite of all, God will see you through. If you are not using your own strength. When you are focusing on you, that is when you are going to fail. But when the challenges come and you be like, yes, I will go up and take it up with God by my side, then you can make it. With your own strength, you are going to fail. That is the reality of life. So some of the things you hear on this platform might not be applicable to you now. But always, we are youth, so we still have a very good brain. If there's anything we like, we can jot down. Just remember and let it start. Meditate on it often. Things can be going on smooth now. It is very good. But then remember that a time will come when this challenge will come, when the problems will come, when it is just only you, nobody around. Just remember that in spite of everything, God is still there. You are not alone. In that period, do not limit the work of God. He will see you through. If you rely on him and you do not doubt, he is God of possibility. There is nothing. Nothing is too hard or difficult for him to do. If only you focus on him, that is the supremacy of God. He is God. He is God. He cannot lie. In the beginning, even before the creation of heaven and earth, there has been God. Before we were created, in the beginning, there has been God. And after everything, there is still God. There are some fools that say there is no God. So then there is no God. It's good for them. At the end of everything, then they will realize that they are wrong. Because how can everything... Was there any abracadabra that came and planted man on earth? Or how did the structures, everything came into being? God is the only supreme one. He is the first, is the beginning, is the last. So none can ever be compared to him. See what this guy went through. Job went through. Job could see the visibility of God. In spite of everything he went through, he still believed that God is God in spite of everything. Even when everybody was saying things, every negative things about God, why don't you do this to God? Why can't you say this? Even his wife, why don't you do this? Why don't you say that? But he had faith in God in spite of what he went through. He held on tight to his faith. And after everything, see what happened. His latter was much more greater than the former. The blessings he had at the end of his life was greater because of what? Because he believed in the God of possibility that in spite of my challenges, in spite of my problems, I know God is able. I know he will see me through. And most of the prayers we always pray that let our latter be greater than the former. What is the point having a better yesterday? There's no point having a better yesterday. We always pray that our latter will be greater than the former. There's no point having, I used to be rich. I used to have a car. I used to have a house, but now. So he experienced God in another level when he saw the visibility of God. Everybody around him would see God as visible. But you know that out of the invisible, out of the challenges, out of everything I'm going through, God is visible. I might not be seeing him now. We can't see God. But trust me, he is walking. He is ever walking. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't grow weary. He's ever walking. He's always on our side. You might not see it. Yes, we can't see God. That's why most of us limit him. Because we don't see him. We believe, we would rather put our faith on the things we see. We put our faith on like you have an uncle or a friend that is promising you a job or promising you to do something or promising that, oh, I'm going to do this for you. We would rather believe that person because we see that person. But because we do not see God, then we don't trust God. We put our mind, our hope on that person. Then that person now disappoints you. Then you feel, no, I'm not serving God again. No, I've been disappointed. No, man disappointed you, not God. Because you are placing your trust in man. You are placing your trust in man. So you are going to be disappointed. Isaiah 40. Let's open up our Bible to Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read a quick one from them. Isaiah 40, 28-31. I don't know where my Isaiah is now. I think my Isaiah 40, 28. I'm going to read a quick one. Do you not
miss,
know?
Miss, what was it again?
Sorry?
What chapter was it again?
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. I'm reading from, this is the NIV version. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary ones and increases the power of the weak. So in your trying period, just know that you cannot rely on your strength. When you rely on your strength, you're going to fall. It gives strength to the tired ones and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and young men stumble and fall. Because at times you always believe that, oh, if you are young or you are a youth, there are some things you can climb mountains compared to the old ones. But here it is telling even the youths, even the young ones, they stumble and they fall. Because if they do it on their own, forget the strength because they are young, they will fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So even if you're an old guy, even if you're an old woman, when you put your strength in God, it's going to renew your strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That is in you. That is you putting everything you have and trusting God that it is going to be well. Even though it seems as if everything looks dark now. It seems as if I'm seeing impossibilities around me. Your strength will be renewed when you put everything in God's hand. There was this pastor missus that died in Nigeria a few weeks ago. I think like 2-3 weeks ago, Ibidu. I don't know if many of us heard about her. I don't know her personally. But I think a few months before her death, I read some nice things about her. And so when she died, most people were shocked. I think she was meant to be, she was close to 40. She's going to be 40 this month. And I always see her as a 50-year-old woman. I didn't know she was that young, 39. So my cousin was like, oh, because she has been around for so long, because she was a Lux beauty queen, whatever, and she's been along. So maybe because of that, I always think that because, and the things which she has done, every December, I think she lights up Lagos and some other parts of Nigeria, Christmas decorations and everything. So she, they did some, they had like 3-day service for her funeral, and I was just looking at the husband. You know, the day she died on a very early Sunday morning, and the husband still, maybe Sunday or Saturday morning. But I think that day the husband had an appointment, he had an appointment to preach somewhere, and I think he still went there to preach also. And people were just commenting that your wife just died. How could you have gone to hold the service? How could you have gone to like go and preach out and everything like that? And people were even thinking, oh, maybe he has a hand in her death. And all through the 3-day service they had for her, I was just looking at him. How can this man be this strong? You just lost your wife of like 13 years. See the 2 children you had together. I was like, how you have a mind of, how is your heart built? I was just looking at the guy. I'll look at him. I'll be like, okay, let me see if the eyes are red or maybe he has cried somewhere. And it was so strong all through. Few days after that, I was meditating on, during my quiet time, I just read this Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. And as I was meditating, because before I read the, I'm using this Daily Fire devotional study. So most times when I read the Bible verses, before I go to read the message, I'll first interpret everything, I'll first meditate on it, then see how this relates to me and how I can apply it before reading the message. So when I read this Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, my mind just went straight to the pastor that lost the wife. I was like, so no wonder he was so strong, because he wasn't relying on his own strength. If he was meant to rely on his strength, he's going to stumble and he's going to fall. And it's going to be like a disgrace to the people that he has been preaching to. Because they'll be like, how can he be this hit by what happened? Despite what he has been telling us about God of possibility, God is able to do all, and he cannot even hold himself. So even youths grow tired and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord, God will renew their strength. His strength was so renewed all through that process, to so many people's amazement. And that is how strong we have to be in Christ. Even through our challenges, even through whatever we are going through, when you rely on yours, forget about your age. When you rely on yourself, me, I can do it, you are bound to fail. Because God is going to disgrace you. It's just like you are competing with God. You are going to be disgraced. You are going to fall flat. Because who is man that you are relying on yourself to do these things? But when you put, even in your weakened state, when you put everything into God, God, I commit my life to you. I know this is difficult, but help my unbelief. Help me go through this. I cannot do it on my own. When you commit everything to God, your strength will be renewed. So in spite of the challenges we are going through, just have it at the back of your mind that God is a supreme God. He is who he is. He is God with every one of us, if you want to take him as one. And if you don't want to take him as one, it is to your own detriment. Because whatever you do without the backing of God, know that you are going to fail. So it is easier now, very easy for you now, to accept him that yes, it is God. He is God of possibility. He is the supreme one. I cannot argue with him. I cannot do without him. You go against him, you are going against your destiny. I'll face through challenges, problems. Yes, as a Christian, it is mandatory. But God said that in everything you do, in your weakened areas, I will increase the power. It gives strength to thee and increases the power of the weak. You cannot boast on your own strength because you've got no strength. You have got no strength. So don't start boasting, yes, it is me, I can do this. You have got nothing. There is nothing that has been given to you that did not come from God, because you were not created by your own self. So you're working against God and thinking, yes, I can do it. No, you cannot do it. You do it, you are going to be disgraced. In your challenges, in your problems, as you go out, whatever you do, just put God first. Father, I cannot do this on my own. I do it, I know I'm going to fail. And in your weakened state, is going to empower you. We are all replaceable. So don't think, yes, God is not helping me here, so I'm going to go away from God. I'm not going to serve him again. Yes, this youth coming 5 o'clock, leaving this. No, I'm not part of it. I'm going to do my own thing, my own way. It's all good. We are all replaceable. God cannot be replaced. If you think, yes, I'm going to get angry with God because I'm going through problems, you're just getting angry with yourself. It's just like you extending your problems. So the sooner you realize that I have to go with God and I'm going to go through challenges, we are going to go through challenges. The sooner you realize that I'm going to go through challenges, but I cannot do this alone. I need God in this journey with me, the better for you. And in this age, we are so privileged that you have any problems, you know, you can always come to meet any of us. Me, Brother Jude, the two antifunkers. You can always come. While we were growing up, we didn't have that privilege, because then we were going to adults. I was going to Anglican with my parents. So there's no youth church. All of you, you go to the same, you're in the same class. They teach you the same way. So whatever problems you have, you resolve it within yourself. But now you are privileged that at least we have the youth. There are some things that probably you might not be able to talk to your parents about. But then you can walk up to any of us and you share and you tell us about what you are going through. Be it education-wise. I know I'm not good in mathematics. Like, I think someone was saying that they have a few challenges in their work. And Brother Jude was now saying that, oh, in any way we can help, we should help out. But then I was quick to tell him that me and maths, it is a no. I think I had the lowest credit when it comes to in maths when I was writing my, well, we call it WAEC in Nigeria. So I couldn't help him that, but Brother Jude will always help when you have problems that area. So just remember that if you have any challenges, any problems in any way you think probably you can't talk to your parents or you have no friend, and be very wise in telling people your problems. It's not everybody. We have unfriendly friends. Do you understand? So be wise in telling people. Just be wise. Those that you want to tell your problems to. But if you have any situation and you need prayers or you need help in any area, you can always walk up to us. You have our numbers. Or if you don't have, you can ask pastor. In any way we can help, we are going to help. Just know that you are not alone in that challenge. And do not leave God out of it. We cannot do without God. It might seem impossible, but we cannot do without God. We need him in our life. And everything is possible with God. He is God of possibility. You taking God out of it, then you are limiting your destiny. You won't get where you are meant to be. You won't get there when you take God out of your life. We need God. So stop skipping Bible studies, prayer meetings. Do the ones. It might be too much for you because I think we have prayer meetings maybe or Bible study almost every day. It might be, but do the ones you can do. And do your quiet time. Pray. We need God. Things are not going easier in this world. Things are not getting better. Trust me. Things are not getting, you open the newspapers. I always say, if you open the newspapers, it is bad news you read. Things are not getting easier at all. So that is why we have to take the bull by the horns. It comes in, we attack it as well. We cannot take God out of our life. We take God out of our life, we are limiting our destiny. And we are cutting our lives down. We are cutting it slowly out. We are cutting it out. So may God help us. And may God give us the grace and the strength to hold on tight to Him and to trust and believe in Him. It is either said and done, but then try to put into action that God is a God of possibility. There is nothing too hard. Nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for Him to do. And by His grace, He's going to see us through. In the mighty name of Jesus. Questions? Hello guys, any question? Hello?
Hello.
Do you want to add anything?
Not me.
Brother Jude?
No.
And Funke, you two Auntie Funkes?
No, I don't have any questions.
Brother Jude? No.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, that was a very, very, enlightening session you had there. I learned quite a lot. So.
Thank you.
So basically, to be honest, I became short of words that I didn't even have any questions to ask. So guys, bring it on. Any questions, we're here.
And if you're having anything you're going through, and it seems as if look impossible, just make sure that we are always here. Don't just think it's just Sunday, you can just come in and get out to us. Do you understand? Even during the week, we are always there. Do you understand? So you have anything you want to share with any of us, just let us know. God is able, okay? So we're gonna close now. We have
that was a good lesson, man. I really enjoyed it too.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I really enjoyed it. And it's really a good privilege for the kids, like you said, that they've got somebody they can talk to anytime, which I think is a good thing for them. And they are going through hard times now, every one of them. They are in their age, but I know God will see them through in Jesus' name. So the only thing I'll just add to that is that everyone should please be free to talk to your youth teachers. They have gone through things in life, so they need to can put you through, all right? And I'm sure you will not miss it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So you may take advantage of the privilege you've got, and you've got them around you. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you very much. Is Sister Funke there?
See.
Each of them.
The people. She just shut down. I didn't even hear her voice at all.
Good afternoon, sir.
Ah, happy new year, man. You okay?
I'm fine.
How about she?
She is there.
Oh, and Victor, nice having you around. Thanks to Auntie Okpeza. Why them? I called them on today. I've not seen Victor for a while. I said, oh, Auntie Okpeza told me about the lesson. Now, Victor did not mention it. So sad.
Huh?
Victor? He has repented now. He said he's going to be joining.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. No problem.
He's a good boy now.
Oh. Fingers crossed, hopefully.
Yeah.
We're going to pray now so we get a few minutes.
Get ready for we have a new person online. I don't know who the person is. Peter, is he gone off? Who's gone up? There was a guy on the Lion King. He's gone up now. One Peter something like that. Peter something.
Peter Oni.
No, there's no, Peter Ayobamiche. I saw one Peter Ayobamiche like that.
He's gone. Okay. No, no problem. Sharon, nice to have you around. Sharon, that's good. Nice to have you around. Fendi, thank you very much for coming.
No problem.
Ashley, nice to have you all the way from Manchester. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley. Hope to see you next week, everybody. Let's keep this attendance up, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh? A quick one. Let's pray. Share the grace. Thank you, Father, for today. We give you all the praise. We bless your holy name and we come to the end of this service, O Lord. We are of your word alone, but we put into practice, O Lord. Father, in our unbelief, O Lord, help us to grow strong in you. In our weak days, O Lord, renew our strength in the name of Jesus. As we even go into this week, Lord, this week is going to be a favored week for us in the name of Jesus. No evil passion against us this week shall prosper. Just like how you've been protecting us against the virus, Lord, Father, we are going to see us through in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we prayed.
Amen.
Let's share the grace.
The grace of my Lord Jesus Christ,
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
Thank you, Auntie.
Bye.
Thank you, Auntie.
Bye.